is the Duffin Up Podcast.
Boom. What is going on, Duff Daddies and Duff Mamas? It is Tuesday, June 8th. We are back on the Tuesday grind, and welcome back to an all-new episode of the Duffin Up Podcast. My name is Brendan Monroe. As always, I am sitting here with the one, the only, Michael Adams. Mike, how you doing tonight, bud?
I'm doing awesome, Brendan. Excited to be here. A lot going on in the golf world. And right there, I just had to transition from my home Wi-Fi to personal hotspot because Wi-Fi connection was a little wacky. So I had to make a pivot real quick. And I'm really excited to be in here on time. Hope my connection stays true all the way through. So let's get rolling as always.
Speaking of connection issues, next we will introduce the only co-host that has had connection issues as of lately, the Irish Chooch Golf, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, how you doing right now?
I'm good. I hope that never happens again, because boy, was I sweating running around the house trying to figure something out. But it was a big week in the golf. Mikey, you're coming in loud and clear on that personal hotspot. Brendan, you always come in clear. Let's get to talking some sticks and balls and holes. That's it.
Absolutely. And we can start off with our new favorite segment, Ladies Night. We have a review of the United States Women's Open from Olympic Club in San Francisco. It played exactly how we thought it was going to play. Although I will say, the winner, none of us picked. No surprise there. That's okay. Yuka Sasso, 19 years old from the Philippines, comes from behind at the end of the day and ends up getting into a playoff winning in a three-hole playoff over Nasa Hataoka. Doing really good with the names right now. Wow. Nasa Hataoka. The 19 years old, it is actually on the day the youngest ties her with Imbi Park for the youngest player to ever win a U.S. Open at 19 years old. Crazy. A 19-year-old just won the U.S. Open. And I'll tell you what, the Olympic Club, it was not forgiving to these girls either. Yuka Sasso started off on holes 2 and 3, double bogey.
Yeah, how about that? Two in a row to start the last day.
Oh, boy.
Right off the bat, that shows all of us that do not give up the round on the first two holes.
You can easily give them up, too.
Yep.
Oh, man. It's just amazing. And it was the polar opposite, because even though this woman was not in the playoff, we do have to talk about the Lexi Thompson collapse, which was unfortunate to say the least. It was, if you guys remember, I said, look out for Lexi Thompson this week. And I was watching it. I was flipping in between the memorial, which we'll talk about later, and that. And I was like, oh my God, like I may actually be right for once with one of my picks here. And then that she flipped over on the back nine. I thought it was going to be a coronation, and down she goes.
That's just exactly the position that I've never been in, to have the lead in a golf tournament and collapse like that. But that must be really, really tough. I don't know how one handles that. How 5-stroke lead on the final day, 41 on the back. Oh my goodness, that's got to hurt so much.
And Yuka Sasso shot a 41 on the front and then came back and was able to get back into it too. So like it's.
What was Lexi's lead going into the final day?
Her lead going into the final day was not, I think it was one.
Yeah, it was real tight, because I remember looking at the leaderboard.
Or it might have even been tied.
I think she might have been one behind or something like that.
Because Yuka Sasso, I think, was leading. It was either they were tied together or Lexi Thompson was tied with Yuka, or Yuka was leading by one.
Lexi Thompson's like, she's 26 and she's played in like 50 of these. So
yeah, I know.
I guess I'll retract a little bit. the pain, she's probably felt it before, so she'll get over it, but that's tough. Has she won a major?
She did. One. Yep, she won the women's PGA back in 2014. So think about that. She was 19 when she won the women's PGA. Wow. So, I mean, yeah, it's women's golf is a young girl's game. I mean, you see it like Lydia Ko, for example. I mean, Lydia Ko is probably the biggest, you know, person. Or sorry, she won the A&A Inspiration. She didn't win the women's PGA. Danielle Kang won the women's PGA. You know, you see all these really good up and coming women. Lydia Ko, as I said before, huge name, started winning like crazy when she first came on the scene at age 17 and 18. Yuka Sasso, who we just saw at 19. We did see an amateur who was, you know, Mega Gane, who we'll get into a little bit later as well. She came out of nowhere. Like, you know, it's pretty impressive what these girls can do. So.
And that rough was no joke. Oh my goodness. Like they were saying it on the No Laying Up podcast. Like, you know, they penalize mediocre shots just as much as they penalize like really bad shots. Yeah. So it was tough to, I mean, I remember watching it on Friday, I think it was, and around the greens, like if you miss the green, the rough was so thick. It was ridiculous.
And it was scary. You can't just do the normal like little chip on because you hit in the rough, because you don't know if you're going to catch a flyer in that deep stuff. You got to swing hard. And if you catch it just right, I mean, you're just skying it over the green. And we've all been there. But why? I wanted to ask you guys a question, because I'm glad you said that, Brendan, because I was thinking that too. What is it about women in golf that, why are they so young? Or, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it's trending, you know, for the past 10 years that since Indy Park, that why are they so young when they're winning and compared to the men who, you know, usually take a couple of years. I know Jordan Spieth, he's an anomaly, but, you know, they're so much younger when they win, and whether they win, you know, later on in life, you know, that doesn't happen that much. I mean, look at Lexi Thompson. But why is it that the women pick it up so much earlier and get that early win compared to the men? I mean, I don't have an answer to that. I'm just posing the question.
Well, I think it's also that women mature, like their bodies mature at a much younger age than men do. So like they say men's, I think what's the peak physical age for men? Like 22, 23. Isn't that something like that? Like that's when you're in, like, that's when you're done growing, basically. It's like when you're like, I think it's like 22 or 23. For women, it's 17 or 18. So I think like that's why, you know, they're probably in like their legit like peak performance, peak athletic build by the time like they're already getting on the PGA Tour.
I also might
for the LPGA. Add,
yeah, I don't know exactly, but like you said last week, who's the woman who, even Michelle Wee, that a lot of them probably go on to be mothers too. And I mean, Annika Sorenstam, she's retired right now, right? Like she doesn't even play. I don't know. Like a lot of, you just don't see it, Tim, right? I mean, older people, older women playing or making it or winning on the LPGA right now. And maybe that'll change as it becomes bigger. And the LPGA, how new is it when, as opposed to the men's game?
That's a good point. And I don't know if it has anything to do as far as the continuation of an LPGA player's career. I don't know if money has anything to do with that, because obviously if a PGA player wants to continue until he's, you know, 65, he can go on to play in the Champions Tour and the money's still great on there. And the LPGA, I don't know if there's it's totally worth it to continue on with their career.
Tim, who's the woman golfer you gave a shout out to last week that's your favorite? That's
retired? Oh, Lorena Ochoa.
Lorena Ochoa, right.
Yeah. She's not even that old. She's only like 38, and she retired like literally 10 years ago. She retired at like the peak at like 28 years old. Like she was like, I'm just done.
A lot of it has to do with money, obviously, too, I'm sure. Like it's probably not even worth it. Like it would, as sad as it is to say, maybe like in the past, I don't know.
Hmm.
Like the men's game makes way more money than the way more money than the woman. That's not right as it is, but
yeah, I mean just for this, like, and you know, it's also with TV revenue and everything like that too. So right. You know, PGA Tour has had that forever. and the LPGA Tour now has it pretty well. But like, again, they're building it. So this year, the U.S. Women's Open winner, Yuka Sasso, won $1 million. And this is like one of the first big tournaments where someone's won $1 million. You know what I mean? Like $1 million, like $1 million to the first place winner.
19. What's she doing? My goodness. Good for her.
Unreal. Save it. Save it.
9 and 20.
Put that in a savings bank. Put that, get, buy yourself a savings bond with that young whippersnapper. And in 30, and in 30 years, it'll be worth $1,100,000. Time value of money right there. No, but I do. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely doing a really good job. I think the LPGA getting it more notice. I think the PGA Tour has definitely helped with that too. And, you know, building and growing the women's game. And obviously with new sponsorships, like this is one of the first times I can remember like the women, you know, like a prime time on NBC. And they still switched it over to Golf Channel.
Yeah, they switched it over to Golf Channel.
That hurt.
That's another. Exactly.
No, they would never do that. I mean, see, it's again, CBS versus NBC. So that's a little different too, that they had different coverage. But yeah, I think it's, you know, they're doing great to grow it. Obviously, I think the women's game is probably much more internationally friendly, or not internationally friendly, but more internationally focused than the men's game. You see a lot. I mean, you see a lot more people coming in from South Korea, from the Philippines, Yuka Sasso, Japan. Like, there's a lot more dominant women's non-U.S. players.
Yeah.
Well, that has to do with overseas, with like, because the men, they have an Australian tour. They also have a European tour. But I feel like the United States, that is the place to play if you are an LPGA player, if you are a women's golfer.
Yeah, I mean, there is a women's European tour. There's the women's Asian tour, everything like that, too. But it is definitely like more and more people come and play on the LPGA tour, because it's just the most well-known.
True.
Is that a U.S. women's golf problem? Like, is U.S. women's golf not as good as other? I mean,
no, it's the best. Come,
but I mean,
you're talking about the actual players.
But I'm talking like people born in the U.S. women.
Oh, no, the South Koreans dominate us. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. The South Koreans dominate us. Yeah. No,
100%. You look at the world rankings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of it, I believe, I mean, this is just totally just me trying to comprehend this, but I believe a lot of this, I mean, it's got to have to do with colleges, because a lot of women come over here to play at schools. If you look at, you know, people from overseas, you know, they're playing at LSU, they're playing, you know, Florida, they're playing all these universities, and they're coming over here to get an education, or free education, because they're getting scholarships and things like that. And then they, you know, some of them go on to be LPGA players. And because I don't know if they have the affirmative action over in different countries, as far as scholarships and everything like that. But the U.S. does offer that, which is huge for women all around.
I know the studying and the training, like of a lot of these like Asian countries and folks, it's impressive, like how early they get kids like working at their craft, and they just get so skilled at such a young age, and then they just go on and do great things. But I don't know. I think the U.S. sometimes, I don't know. I feel like people can get a little distracted a little easier. And
you're right. Look at gymnastics and like China and all those sports. You're right. It's just like, as soon as you come out of the womb, you're looking for, all right, let's focus you on this one sport. And let's grind it in sports and academics, and that's your life until you're doing something with it, you know? It's a good point, Mike.
No, I agree there. And that's kind of, you know, because it's such an international game on the women's side too, it's really cool to be able to see like how Yuka Sasso, for example, like she was like, yeah, like growing up when I was playing golf, like Rory McIlroy was my idol. So like,
yeah, that was awesome.
I watched Rory. You know, kind of like I would say probably how you know, like Jordan Spieth and Justin, like they all are like, yeah, like I watched Tiger growing up. I watched Phil growing up, you know, I have all these different favorites. And then it's just like, you know, you hear Yuka Sasso like talking about her idols in the women's game, but then she's also like, oh yeah. And like, I model my swing after Rory. And I'm like, damn.
Love that.
That's yeah, unbelievable.
It is. It solidifies Rory.
Good swing too. It's a damn good swing.
Does that help Rory, you think? Her just empowering Rory maybe a little bit
no,
more?
No, like, no. Rory doesn't need any empowerment. He's already a really good player.
No, but he needs to get something together.
He does. He does. Imagine if he comes. Yeah. That'd be great.
Can't imagine hurt.
No, it cannot hurt.
Woman on the LPGA tour saying, I idolize my swing after you. That's a boat of confidence.
Yep. Yeah, no, it was. And, you know, going into it too, like being able to watch Yuka Sasso play in the three hole playoff, it was great because it was just back and forth and back and forth. And then finally, having that birdie putt, sinking that birdie putt at the end, she probably would have won anyways, because I think Hataoka had a pretty far par putt too. So I think it was almost like
she sunk a punt to win. Pretty outright. Yes.
So she outright won it on the third playoff hole.
Break it down. Third playoff hole. I didn't watch the playoffs. Shame on me.
Yeah, that's okay. I almost missed the last hole because they switched it over from NBC to right. Golf Channel. And I was mad.
That's what I heard.
But yeah, it, you know, she had just two great shots into the hole. I think Hataoka, like, I think she was in the bunker. Or not, maybe not the bunker, maybe the rough. I don't know. To be honest, I didn't watch the whole over, and you know, that's poor on my end, and I apologize to our listeners.
They shouldn't be changing the channel on you, dude. They shouldn't be changing the channel on you.
I know. It was the worst. Keep it on NBC, guys. NBC.
Imagine that happened in the men's US Open.
Oh my god, there'd be an uproar.
Yeah.
It would be done. Imagine it'd be over.
You in a men's league game, like you were on TV one night and like, oh no, the overtime's going to something else.
You'd be pissed. Imagine it just happening at a regular PGA Tour tournament. There would be an uproar about it.
Like someone's about to make like a winning putt and all of a sudden like that clock zooms on for 60 minutes. Like, right. Yeah, we're going to switch to 60 minutes. Like, oh my God, what a letdown that would be.
Exactly. But it was, you know, like I said before, awesome win from Yuka Sasso. Great to see her do that. Just hitting back on the Lexi Thompson stuff. Like, did you see any of that interview at the end?
No. So I just read it over and what you wrote, but what happened?
It was just like, it was two questions. Like they were just asking her two questions and like, she was on the verge of just like breaking down. So her agent just came in and was like, all right, God, like we literally cannot do this right now. Cause think about it. A one-shot lead on the final two holes. One of those two holes is a par five that you had birdied, I think, most of the other days. And you bogey that hole because you miss a four-foot putt, and you bogey 18 as well to not even have a chance in the playoff, you know? Oh, brutal. Brutal, brutal, brutal. Really sad for her. I kind of... Great story that came out of this too. 17-year-old Mega Gane.
Yes.
Making a name for herself, playing in the final group as an amateur on the last day. That's, you know, and she did not have a good day. And like, you could even see, like, as soon as she was like kind of out of it, you know, she went plus six through her first eight holes. And that was, you know, that was it. But then, like, you saw a little bit on the back nine. She seemed a little bit more loose. She seemed a little bit more comfortable and relaxed. Then she hit a birdie on 17 and like she was smiling and all that stuff. So I was really happy for that. But like literally an unbelievable feat for like a set for, I know we talk about the women's game and how it's a little bit younger, but this girl's an amateur, not even like did not turn professional yet. Has, you know, I don't think she's played many events on the LPGA tour at all. And being able to qualify for this, you know, she had done the Masters drive chip and putt events before. She might have even played in the Augusta Women's Amateur this year. I actually don't know if she did or not.
She did do that chip and putt, and she the first year she put it like 8 feet by. It was like a 12-foot putt, and she put it, I think, like 6 feet by. But then the next year she made it. And wow. if you listen to her, you'd be like, yeah, she's 28. Like she's 17 years old. Like it's incredible, but she's very mature and she did well. Wish she didn't shoot a plus six on Sunday. Come on there, Mega. But
that's, she's 17. Leave her alone. Jesus Christ.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, that's exciting. She definitely caught my attention this weekend as a 17-year-old and she's,
yep.
Yeah. What, going back to high school? She's in high school. I mean, just unbelievable.
Not even close to graduating high school. How crazy is that?
No, let me put it into perspective. Well, remember last week we were talking about like someone, they had to finish their social studies homework before they go in. She legitimately, and Saturday when I found out she was in the final group and listened to someone was saying that she right before she came to this US Open, she had to do an 8-hour calculus project or something like that. And she had to ask her calculus teacher for an extension. Mm-hmm. And then like with hopes that like maybe for some reason, and her calculus teacher tweeted at her and said, "Don't you worry, we'll grant you this extension. We're all rooting for you. Go get them strong." It was amazing. It was amazing.
That's awesome.
That's a layup. I mean,
that's unbelievable.
What are you going to not grant her that exemption? I mean, way to handle that situation. You did that right.
Yep. Yeah. Thank God. But unbelievable play from her as a 17-year-old, tied for 14th.
Yes. Not a good play, right? The final groups were threesomes, right?
Yeah, threes.
Threesomes and went off on both the front and the back.
That's fucking terrible, man.
Why would they do that? I know, I get the threesomes. That's fine.
To cram it into the threesomes or what? To cram it into NBC coverage or what?
I think they tried to cram it all into that 4 hours. That's brutal. Or not all into the 4 hours, because obviously you can't, but like they tried to like get as much as they could. They started later. I mean, it's 3 hours back too. So like they started.
I wonder if the ladies had any say in that, if they were okay with, I don't know. Are the players not like they prefer twosomes as opposed to three? Like, or is that
all? They would have preferred twosomes.
Yeah. How can you not?
Exactly. Yeah. I think that was a big mistake as well. You know, there's some things that you just got to kind of call out, and I didn't like that either. But you know, not too much you can do now. The only thing that does stink for Mega Gane is because she's an amateur. She won low amateur, which is great, but I think she missed out on about $98,000.
Can she apply today for?
No. You can't do that.
I would definitely do
that. Oh man. Plus you kind of want to keep your amateur status because you can get into a couple of other tournaments too. So
no, she would give away her. Yeah. Whole college.
I mean, she's gotta be thinking of college. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But,
or, hey, Lydia Ko turned pro at 16. Lexi Thompson turned pro at 16. Like, there's crazy people out there.
If you said 100K at 17 or go to college, I think I'm choosing 100K. I mean,
I think I'm also choosing 100K.
If I know now what I know, if I knew then what I knew now, I definitely would have chosen 100K. I mean, college is just a racket.
Oh boy, we're getting into the educational racket on the podcast tonight. Oh man, I don't disagree there, but yeah, you know, she definitely is probably thinking like, okay, I can go, you know, go to college, play in a couple more amateur tournaments, play for a year or two, and maybe do the LPGA after that. So we'll see. But unbelievable story. But yeah, we did have, on the unfortunate side, we did have some pretty big names that missed the cut. First and foremost is Nelly Korda.
Yeah, the Korda Scissors.
Number one player on the LPGA tour probably right now. Just didn't show up, missed the cut. Play with her sister the entire time too. Oh, Jessica made it. She finished tied for 38th. You go, Jessica. Michelle Wee West, another one. Two straight missed cuts in major championships. I'm getting a little sad for Michelle. Want her to come back strong. Oh, well, it happens. Sophia Popoff, winner of the AIG Women's Open last year, had some controversy because they wouldn't let her in the ANA Inspiration that got postponed, which they should have allowed, but they wouldn't let her in there. So that was a bad one for 2020. She ended up finishing pretty well in 2021. Oh, okay. That went out. Well, now I'm in the dark, so this is nice. But anyways, we'll continue.
Brendan shooting lights out.
I'm shooting lights out right now. So, yeah. Oh boy, that's not good. All right. Well, and then finally, one of the names growing up that we probably heard a lot, Paula Kramer, still a big name, I think. Still a pretty decent name, and just wasn't able to make it work this week for her. But
who would you compare her to in the PGA Tour? Like, if you said like Sergio Garcia, would you put her like in that category, or
probably
older, on the back nine of their career, but still have some notable wins and things like that? I'm just trying to think, try to compare it to someone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. One major. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I just asked how old is she?
34.
And yeah. I guess that, almost like a Lee Westwood, but someone like you're like, oh, okay, they missed the tour, they missed the cut, but they're not out of it for the next week. But you're not completely surprised that they missed the cut, kind of one of those.
I'm trying to think of like an American guy who does that,
Like up until a couple weeks ago, maybe Phil.
Jason Duffner.
Duff Daddy's won a major. Duff Daddy has won a major. I love Duff Daddy.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
Where have you been lately, Duffer?
Yeah, he played well in the PGA Championship.
Yeah, he finished in the top 20, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'm looking for wins.
I know.
Jason Duffner, that might not be his forte anymore.
Winning golf tournaments.
Exactly. Just getting there is the biggest thing. Oh,
oh my god.
There it is. Hold on. Let's get back. Nope. It died on me. Oh well. Oh, what can you?
Brandon's rattled.
I am rattled.
It's just a light. I mean, you're good.
I know.
Nobody's watching. It's just a listener.
Just the listeners. That's true. So overall, great weekend.
You still look good. I mean, I can.
Thank
still
you, bud.
I can still see you. And
do like the mysteriousness of the darkness.
It's not even that dark. but yeah. So great weekend. I feel it was a really, really good event. Obviously, we did have some concerns, especially around, coverage, everything like that. I still think that's an issue, but hopefully going forward, they're able to address it. So great job for all the women, for all the women who played this week. Absolute pleasure watching it. And Olympic Club was a tough test. Ended up, I think it was 10 or not even 10. I think it was 8 women who were under par, and that was it.
Wow, that's good.
Crazy.
That's a U.S. Open.
That's a U.S. Open course.
That's what we're looking for.
Love it. Absolutely love
it. Sorry. 5 women under par. 1 woman at even. The rest, dunzo.
Do you guys know what Trent shot at Olympic Club? Trent on four player.
No, what did he shoot?
What did he shoot?
A 118.
That's not surprising. He stinks. Dude,
I love he's getting better. I love his
Breaking
100. John Tillery. That was a great.
Yeah.
If you're looking for a good little couple tips on how to swing the golf club, just go watch that little YouTube clip. But no, I thought that was cool that those guys went out and played Olympic Club before the women. And kept playing ball and hole, kept their own score.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I agree. But unfortunately, we do have to move on from the lovely Women's Open and into the house that Jack built. We are off to Dublin, Ohio, to Mirfield Village. Talk about one of the weirdest tournaments that I've seen in a while.
That was really weird. Really weird.
Probably ever.
Wild.
Oh my goodness. Patrick Cantlay wins in a playoff over Colin Morikawa, but I don't even want to talk about that because the real winner would have been our boy, the fiery Spaniard, John Rahm.
I don't feel for him.
Oh my God. Oh, coming off the 18th hole on Saturday, he had just had an electric day. an absolutely electric day. And he's COVID-19 positive test.
Lapping the field, right? He's up six.
He was up six. He could have. So they, the final.
Lefty. Could have played lefty on Sunday.
The final score, he was 13 under. So that was, 13 under par was what got into the playoff. John Rahm would have been he would have had to have an absolutely horrendous day to even make it close to down there. You know what I mean? And here's the thing. If they knew that they were chasing Rahm, I don't think Cantlay and Morikawa would have played as safe as they did. Because I think on a couple holds, they played it pretty safe. And they were playing like more shoot it for the green, see if someone else makes a mistake here.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would have had to go after it. And they would not. And that would have been bad. That would have been really, really bad for them. So
There's really nothing else to talk about here. I mean, Patrick Cantlay wins it for the second time, and
yep, John Rahm would have won it for back to back years.
John Rahm could have overslept his tee time and still
played, still won. Played.
But I don't feel bad for the guy. I'm not rooting for. I don't want to say I feel good that it happened. I certainly don't. Obviously, no. I want the best player to win the tournament, but. He had every chance to get vaccinated. He didn't.
He got his first shot, but the issue was that he came in. Yeah, I think he got his first shot and he came in contact with someone.
Right.
Like right prior to his first shot.
He was getting tested all along. He was in different quarters than everybody else. Like he was kind of under his own protocol. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks. I mean, I don't know. It sucks, but it's a lot of money that he obviously lost out on, which.
Yep. Jack's tournament pays very, very.
Yeah. If you get vaccinated on tour, you don't even have to get a COVID test. Like you can just not even get tested at all. So I guess the tour is like pretty split on getting it, but who knows? Like they were saying, I think it was a no lineup. Like if this makes guys go get tested, like it wasn't the however many deaths that COVID caused that would make you go get it. I'm not an advocate for, if you don't want to get the vaccine, and I don't judge any, like to each their own, but he knew what was going down and he knew the protocol and he didn't get it. I did not know he got his first shot, but
I think he got his first shot, so I think he did.
I think you're pulling that out of your ass.
I may be pulling it out of my butt. And Tim, by the way, it's not 1.3. It's 1.675.
Oh, no, 9.3 was the total purse.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's one of the biggest ones. Yeah, because you talked about last week. It's that, the Genesis, for just regular tour events. Then they do the
players.
The players is huge. The players purposely gives out the most so they can call themselves the fifth major, but they're not. Anyways, as my hill, I am dying on it. I'm dying on that hill, and I'm dying on never having a match play major because it's a waste. Those two hills I will die on, and I will die on those gladly. Anyways, yeah. So Patrick Cantlay, I mean, I also think we may have talked, and like this is bad on our end. I think we might have talked about it more if Colin Morikawa ended up winning, because all of us, I think, are pretty big Colin Morikawa guys. And I think he is just the young up and coming guy, going to be probably one day like one of those faces of golf, if he's not already. I mean, Patrick Cantlay is just kind of Patrick Cantlay. Like he's a good golfer. He seems like a good dude. Kind of just like, you know, little vanilla here and there, but I don't know. I was rooting for Colin Morikawa.
All right. So I kind of have like a shit eating grin on right now. When John Rahm, when I found out that he got cut and he had a 6-stroke lead, I was kind of excited. I like John Rahm. He handled himself well after this. And if the interview, if you haven't heard it, go see it. You know, it really showed, his true colors, and I liked it, but I had Patrick Cantlay in my lineup.
You did.
And because John Rahm went out, it won me $10. So thank you, John Rahm. Hopefully him and his family are healthy and all that. But thank you for getting, you know, testing positive. So I was not rooting for Colin Morikawa. I was rooting for Patrick Cantlay, strictly for the financial region. But yes.
Strictly for $10.
$10.
Which I put $5 in anyways. So it actually, I won $5. So it's okay.
That's right.
But it feels good. It feels so good.
I think I came in last.
Yeah. I had three guys cut. I mean, Joaquin Neiman missed cut for the first time ever this year. Literally, first cut.
I saw
awful day. Awful day. Awful Saturday. Awful Friday. Matt Wallace. What's that?
Even in the doghouse yet or no?
Probably not. I mean, he probably will be, but like not for big ones. But all that matters is the chugga chugga choo choo Charlie Hoffman train makes another cut.
Wow.
We're on to the US Open.
Harry Higgs shot a plus 12 on Sunday. Woo! He had a rough day. He had a rough day. Finished his plus 17, but he made the cut. So that's all that matters, you know?
Good golf.
You never know which big rig you're going to get.
No.
You're either going to get super happy big rig or super angry big rig.
I hope Charlie Hoffman never leaves the train and you never have to leave the train. I like the streak you got going.
Not even that. I mean, he's just in right now. I think he's still in the top 25 in FedEx Cup too. He's like, they are now saying he has like an outside shot at making the Ryder Cup team. And for the love of God, I need Charlie Hoffman on the Ryder Cup team.
No.
I need Charlie on the Ryder Cup team.
Don't lose sleep at night if you're sweating that one out. He's not making it, Jack.
Oh, no.
Watch him come and win three tournaments this year now, and all of you are just fucking eating that statement.
I'll tell you, if he does win one, then he will start to be in the conversation, which is weird. I don't know, but I don't want him to be. I love Charlie Hoffman, great guy, but no. The U.S. is already stacked.
They are. They need a glue guy. Charlie Hoffman's a glue guy.
He's a glue guy.
I want a guy who's going to raise the average age. Give me some older statement, you know. Just
Charlie Hoffman, 43.
No, I'm talking about Phil or Tiger. Obviously not Tiger.
I was just about to say, Tiger's not coming back until 2022 at the absolute earliest. Absolute earliest, which is tough to say, but it's true.
We're keeping golf in a good place while he's getting better. I think we're keeping it down. The golf world is in a good place, and he'll get
back. I would agree.
The big cat will be back.
He will be back. He'll be purring, baby. Oh, can't wait for it. Big name, though. Big name who's proving me wrong, and I will take this hit. Ricky Fowler's coming back.
Hell yeah, Rick.
Rick is having quite a streak right now.
He's in my lineup, baby.
He's playing in an event. Is it the upcoming Palmetto? Or I don't think is he playing in a different one? I don't know.
No, he has to play in the U.S. Open qualifiers. He hasn't qualified for the U.S. Open.
Right.
Yeah, so he's playing. Yeah.
Oh, sugar. That's terrific. Imagine getting in his group. You'd just be like, I'm in Ricky Fowler's U.S. Open qualifying group. That'd be sweet.
It would be pretty sweet. He does. So his world golf ranking is 101. So he does not qualify. His FedEx Cup ranking is 110. So he does not qualify. Like there is like a very big, like linear FedEx Cup.
Yeah, what does he have to be in the FedEx to qualify?
Oh, I think like top 50.
Oh, really?
Yeah, for automatic qualification.
So it wouldn't even make sense for him to play in like PGA events to try and get that. He'd rather go.
No, he should play in PGA events because he should.
Or no, he'd rather go through qualifiers.
Oh, yeah. He has to go through the qualifiers right now.
Right.
Like I don't even think if he won this week, he would get it. Because this is a weird tournament this week, Conagree. It's the Palmetto Championship back in South Carolina. Let's go. Three tournaments in South Carolina this year. Unbelievable. My second state showing what's up. But anyways, so Ricky Fowler in his last two tournaments has finished T8 at the PGA and got a nice little chunk of change for that one, and T11 at the Memorial. And we're not going to talk about the two tournaments before that where he got cut at both of them, but we are going to say that Rick is putting together a nice little string right now. And I'm happy. I'm happy for it.
Woody, what a storyline that would be if he's in contention at the US Open on Sunday. I mean, that's just fantasy stuff right there, but whoa, what a storyline that would be.
It would be crazy. Although I think you guys all know that I'm now rooting for Phil Mickelson at the US Open just so he gets the career Grand Slam.
Who doesn't root for Phil Mickelson? I mean, we gotta.
Yeah.
He's gotta get that Grand Salami.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh yeah. I mean, he's not. He probably won't, which is really sad. But you know,
hopefully, he cuts back on the salami, Tim, between now and then.
he's certainly not cutting back on the wine. If you guys saw that, he's drinking. He is drinking wine out of that Wanamaker. I love it. I think it's hilarious. He is crushing it right now, dude. Oh man! And another guy who's actually been playing pretty well too is Brendan Grace. I don't know if you guys know a lot about Brendan Grace at all, but like he's had like a bunch of ups and downs. Like at one point he was a top 10 player in the world. You know, he almost won the British Open one year, I believe. Yeah, he almost won the US Open in 2015. 2015 was probably his best year ever because he finished third and fourth at the PGA and the US Open. But I mean, the guy has two PGA Tour wins in his career. You know, he's kind of getting back up to where he was. You know, I don't think he'll keep going. He had a really, really good PGA Championship as well, which was really nice to see. Really, really nice to see because I had not seen his name on a leaderboard in quite some time. Like, no lie.
You still talking about Brendan Grace?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an Irish comedian on Google that comes up before his name. I was just Googling Brendan. I was just Googling Brendan Grace because I saw his swing this week and it is quirky.
It's a little weird. It's a bit weird.
It's mm-hmm. really weird. I wanted to confirm that was a swing I saw.
Also, the funny part is I believe he and Scottie Scheffler were playing together on Sunday, right? Two of the weirdest swings.
I was wrong. It might be Steele. Is it?
Brendan Steele.
Brendan Steele, I think, is the quirky swing.
Gotcha.
But go on.
But Scottie Scheffler finished third by himself. Also has a very quirky swing. Very quirky swing.
And we talked about we've talked about that. And didn't he shank one this week? I saw that.
Oh, he shanked a lot. He shanked a couple this week. Oh, man.
You just love seeing that.
You got to like seeing the once in a while shank.
Especially with the guys where you're like, man, his swing's like really kind of awkward. And like, how does he tee it up straight every time? I know he's a pro, but like, still, like those, like Rory, like how does he miss hit it? Like his swings look freaking great every time. But some of these guys look like they're us out there, and they freaking nail it spot on the face every time. And they're, but yeah. Oh, Brendan Steele, yeah, he has a quirky swing. Yep, that guy has a quirky swing. But
guys named Brendan just have some weird swings sometimes. It's okay.
Yours is pretty fluid.
You have a smooth swing, Brendan.
Pretty smooth.
Mm-hmm. Call me Louis Oosthuizen out there. Or Corey Connors now. I've been watching a lot of Corey Connors lately, and by God, that thing is silky, silky, silky.
He struggled this week, though.
He did. He had a very bad week. If we have any Canadian listeners, please show this to the rest of your friends, because we'd love to share our love of Corey Connors with you guys.
It must suck being a lefty and seeing like all these righties with great swings. Like most of the guys that play golf are righties, so like you're not really getting a wide variety, and like you're saying, you just want to emulate the lefty, you know, like I feel that, like, I don't know. I don't try and pitch like a lefty as a kid. Like I'm a righty. Like you can't really just align with that. You guys get it less often because there's less of you.
Mm-hmm. But we just also have naturally nicer looking swings. So it's okay.
Whatever.
Not your fault. If you ever watch, there's a kid now, 21 years old from South Africa. His name is Garrick Higo. He's awesome. His swing is one of the most like beautiful swings I've ever seen in my entire life. Mm-hmm. Akshay Bhatia does not have a pretty swing. That thing is very, very jerky, but it's it works well for him. He plays pretty well. So, you know, good for him. But yeah, so I mean, I know we didn't talk too much about the tournament. Did you guys see that they do like the here's how the hole looked in 2020? Here's how it looked in 2021.
Cool. That was cool.
I told you. Yeah. They mess with the holes. And they cool. do it like that every cool. year. It's crazy.
And Jack was on the broadcast for like he was on the broadcast for a long time throughout the
day. Oh my god. Jim Nance won't let Jim Nance keeps him prisoner in there.
Thank God. But it was cool to hear have him like break it down. And he was saying like everyone who had like input on the hole, like one hole, his son just said, you know, take the bunkers out or so put bunkers in there. You know, it was cool. I did like that, Brendan. Good call.
Yeah. I think, I mean, he's great on it and I think he enjoys it too. So like there's other guys like, you know, like Arnold Palmer didn't enjoy doing that. And like some of the older guys don't like Tiger doesn't like being, you can tell Tiger doesn't like being on the broadcasts. Like even when he was on the Genesis Open earlier this year and he was talking about his comeback, like you could tell, like he didn't really want to talk. And it's just like a taste and preference thing, but Jack knows how to do it and Jack's really good at it. Gary player's really good at it, but he just goes off on tangents and it's hilarious because he's a kook. I love him. But yeah, there's definitely a couple guys. And I really like hearing Jack on the broadcast too, because, you know, he talks about, you know, the guys that he really likes out there too. And it's great. And he, Jack has a big thing for Patrick Cantlay too. So Jack really likes Patrick Cantlay. Talked about him a lot. So pretty cool that he ended up winning again. So his second Memorial, he leapfrogged Bryson into number one overall in the FedEx Cup standings right now, which is pretty sweet.
Brooksy?
Oh, can't believe we almost didn't bring that up.
Dude, you don't even got that on there. That's awesome.
Oh.
That's awesome.
My God. Patrick Cantlay's only 29. I thought he was older than that. Sorry. Sorry, Patrick. I thought you were older than that.
Did he get some Jack like scholarship when he was a young kid? Or am I dreaming or making that up? Or is it just the when he won the time before? I might be
played in the Walker Cup too. So I think he did some stuff. Oh yeah. He won the player of the year as at UCLA. So he won like the Heisman Trophy for golf is called the Jack Nicklaus Award. Yeah.
I didn't know that. That's a good fact. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Damn, he won a lot. Apparently, there's a Phil Mickelson Award too. Interesting. Freshman of the Year. Okay. Anyways.
Yeah, you have to be a lefty.
No, I mean, Cantlay's a righty.
No. He switched after he graduated.
Phil, he won the Phil Award too?
Yeah. So he won the Player of the As a freshman, he won both the Player of the Year, the Most Outstanding College Golfer, which is the Haskins Award. And the Phil Mickelson Player of the Year, the Pac-10 Player of the Year and Freshman of the Year, and the McCormick Medal, which is the top amateur in the world. So Patrick Cantlay had a pretty good 2011 as an amateur. Good for him.
I always feel for Pat. You guys know the story of him walking with his best friend when they were like down in, I forget where, but his best friend was like hit by a car right in front of him. I think he was a professional golfer or a college golfer or a high school golfer teammate, like best friend, like worst story you could ever imagine.
Yeah, no, that's definitely brutal. That's
so sad. It was a hit and run.
Oh,
yeah, brutal.
No, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
They weren't. It wasn't even like they were drinking or anything like. I think it was just they were out like walking at night across like crosswalking. Yeah, brutal. You might recognize the name, honestly.
No, I didn't know that. Oof. Patrick Cantlay. Then, damn. Glad you won then. While you're looking that up, Jack, oh, do you got it, Mike?
No. I was saying hell yeah to glad he won.
yeah. Glad he won after hearing that story, man.
Chris Roth.
What?
Chris Roth was his friend.
Doesn't ring a bell, but that's terrible. Chris Roth, that's a freak accident, one of those things, unfortunately.
Oh. Best friend grew up with him and was his caddy.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal.
Didn't know that part. Oh, that's brutal.
Wow.
Anyway, well,
just
very happy for
that. Yeah, have a soft thought. I didn't mean to bring the mood down, but just you never like hearing that. But sometimes you don't know where people come from. So,
absolutely,
he gets a lot of backlash for being a guy who just doesn't say much, if anything, and just you wouldn't know anything about him. And
no, he definitely doesn't.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. It's always easier to root for someone when you know their backstory, or they know, you know, they had to overcome something.
Absolutely.
He's not like a Webb Simpson. He was a Webb Simpson before you told me that, but now he's someone I root for.
And I'm sure Webb has something where he's like,
Yeah. But we don't know yet.
No, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Brooksy, I mean, are we talking about that or what? There's a lot going on there, dude.
All right, so Brooksy, they were yelling at him. They were yelling at Bryson DeChambeau. They were saying, "Oh, Brooksy," and they were the club was
time out. Timmy, I want you to keep going though. I want you to keep. Did Brooks? I'm sorry to cut you off, but did Brooks release the video of Bryson walking by him? I heard that Brooks released that. Like, was
he requested it to be released.
So, I thought he requested it so he could release it.
But he didn't release it. The Golf Channel released it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sure? Or
yeah, I think he requested it to be released because the Golf Channel released it.
So he pretty much released it.
Yeah, he gave them you can, you know, like. It's funny. He basically said, like, you can release it.
This will be good for my IAAP or whatever, whatever the prayer program.
I'm going on a nice little rant there. Keep going.
Okay. So, Brooksy, Bryson DeChambeau, obviously they're in a spout, them two. Obviously, just a backstory if you haven't heard anything about it. They're in a little tiff. So, Bryson DeChambeau, he's hitting. He gets really frustrated because fans are chirping him, yelling Brooksy to Bryson DeChambeau. He doesn't like it. He says he doesn't mind it, but whatever. So, anyway, the course is kicking these people out who are, you know, on the side of Bryson who are yelling Brooksy. The course is kicking them out. So,
at the directive of Bryson and his caddy. Like, don't leave that out.
Right. Okay. And then so Brooks Koepka releases a video while he's drinking a Michelob Ultra. He is releasing a video.
The sponsorship beer of the PGA Tour, Michelob Ultra.
Michelob Ultra. And I guess sponsors him too. But he says in a very, like, I don't know, kind of a snidey back, you know, I don't even know how to say it, but to basically he said, to all of those fans who didn't get to enjoy the entire tournament for reasons we will not say, you will get 500 Michelob Ultras on us and to hopefully reimburse you for missing the tournament. Basically saying, hell yeah, keep chanting Brooksy at Bryson. Just basically fueling this fire because I'll tell you what, boys, we have not seen the end of this. It's just beginning. Oh, my God.
It got me good. DM me or Michelob Ultra some tag. Like, that's just advocating for fans who are already drunk and already just out of control to go a little more out of control and to provoke that. These two guys are the worst. If you saw Bryson's interview, I don't know if it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It was not Sunday. It was like Thursday or Friday about him being called Brooksy. First off, like a week ago, someone called him Brooksy and he's like, whoever said that, like, can stop. And obviously, Brendan, you just said, like, you're not wrong. Like, Bryson's guys are telling, like, these guys got to go if they're saying Brooksy. But he's answering a question on Golf Channel saying he must have used the word flattering 50 times. And he looks so uncomfortable when he's speaking. And it's just like, you're so fake. There's nothing like you're just as they're both terrible. I root for both of them to tie and last every fucking time. These guys are just, and they're talking about the incentive money that's going around. Like, is this even really a thing? Like obviously they're going for more money to be thrown in their pocket from the PGA Tour, saying if you're on social media more, you get more money. Like, this is exactly what it's provoking. And it's great. I love how it's coming back to hit them right in the, right where it hurts. But I don't know. I don't like either of these guys, either their stances, how they're handling this. It's just how I would not handle it. It's so like immature. And it's not good for the game of golf. I'm not someone, and I like, golf teaches you a lot of good shit. Like, it teaches you how to be nice, like keep your score, be honest, integrity, like hold the values of the game in check. Like, if the ball is in the hazard, you can't ground your club. If you ground your club, if the ball moves, it's a stroke. Like, all these things, like, you didn't see, you're the only one who saw it. No one else saw it. Like, what are you going to say about it? Lie, don't lie. But if you're a golfer who's like inciting fans to chant in people's backswings or throw things at them while they're swinging, or even be it, even like they said it on the No Lana podcast, they said it like the Ryder Cup US fans going into Rory's face when he's going from one hole to the next, like, you suck, Rory, suck my dick. Like, that's just shit that doesn't belong in golf. And I'm totally on like, fuck Brooks and Bryson, learn how to handle yourself, and let's grow up and be men and handle this some way that's not this way.
It should be handled on the golf course with just a score.
Right. Or just like, you shouldn't be using, Brooks is being paid by Michelob. The PGA Tour is paying Michelob. Michelob is obviously saying, Brooks, you can incite fans to say something that's going to get them kicked out, to make them more riled up. Like, that's wrong. There's something wrong there. That's a love triangle that doesn't work.
Do you think any of this would be, do you think this would be as huge, and they would play into this, both of them, you know, they would continue this feud if the PGA Tour didn't come out with that player program thing where they have to, you know, the highest, the most social media clicks or whatever gets $1 million or whatever it is. Do you think this is such a big thing with that? I mean, do you honestly think Brooks Koepka would post a video with Michelob Ultra if that thing wasn't there? And I can't say yes or no, but I'm saying maybe.
It's a good question. It's a good question. And like, I don't know, it's coming back to bite the PGA a little bit with the program and how it's being used. And are they going to reward guys for using it that way? I don't know, but I like it. I like the drama. I just don't want anything to get out of hand on the golf course. That's really all I care about.
Right. In order for us to be, or for me to be entertained by it, I almost have to like separation of church and state between their feud and their golf game. Like, right. if I separate like golf and them and just think of it as like two guys going at it, then it's entertaining for me. If I think of it's two golfers, I'm like, all right, this isn't good for the game. Just like you said, Michael. So I absolutely agree. They shouldn't be rooting for people to mess people up on the golf course. Leave it out of the game. And when I make that separation, then I can be entertained by it.
Right. And I know I said last week, like, I want him to be Bob Barker, like Adam Sandler, like Happy Gilmore style. And not, that's obviously a friggin' joke, but like, I don't know. It's just, even if Brooks used like another sponsor not involved in golf, it wouldn't look as bad. Like, it's just weird to me how, I don't know, how nothing is really, it's still early and it's going to play out. So,
like, if he gave away like 100 cans of Flex Seal, you're saying?
right.
100 can of Flex Seal.
No, I don't know. It's interesting, but it's big money, and I don't know. A lot of money is at stake during the golf action, like when people are making swings. So again, I'm just hoping that fans don't ruin the game of golf and make it something that's aggressive and loud and obnoxious. But
yeah, I like the loud and obnoxious at all the, you know, like the Phoenix Open and or the Waste Management Open. I love the rowdiness, but all those people still respect the game. But right. now it's getting to the point where there's a line that's being tiptoed, and to where the respect of the game is being tiptoed and there's controversy around it. But yes, anyway, we went on a tangent and I love it.
Little did we know that Mike was about to do the best segue that we have done in a while, because speaking of a bunch of money, the Premier Golf League has been confirmed for the 2023 season. Michael, good job, man.
Thank you. I'm taking a bow. I can't believe this. I actually did not know this until we chatted when I looked at the little agenda we got going. So it's approved, huh?
So the organizers of it, which is a British-based conglomerate, has basically confirmed that they are going to play for they're going to have a 2023 season. There is going to be 18 events spread out across the world. 12 of them are going to be in the US. It was originally only supposed to be 10, but then apparently like an American company got involved and stuff. So now it's 12. There will be, this is the part that I hate, and we'll get more into it. Only the top 48 players can in official world golf ranking can be in an event. There are no cuts. There is $250 million in prize money through those 18 events. The winner of every event will get $4 million. Last place gets
$150,000. Wow.
Mm-hmm. And there's also apparently going to be a team element. So it's going to be like Formula One, because I think these guys are also involved in Formula One racing too. So I think there's a lot of crossover.
Just started season 3 of that on Netflix. It's incredible, man.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Hey, Formula One Sunday is on ESPN now. I kind of wake up a little early and I put it on. If I wake up early and it's on, I'm like, oh, sweet.
You got to get up early on Sunday to watch it. But if you're looking for like, dude, I knew nothing about Formula One.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's insane.
The media there, you think media people here are soft when a post, if you go to Formula One media outings, oh my God,
they're brutal. They're so mean. Oh,
it's wild. They're such assholes.
Lewis Hamilton, quick question for you, Lewis Hamilton. Why do you fucking suck?
literally. But no, I just started season 3 on Netflix last night because I didn't realize it came out. And what was I going to say? I forget. But Formula One, if you haven't checked it out, I didn't know anything about it, but it's a great it's hard, like Hard Knocks of football. Like you get the insight to the LA Rams pre-game, like training camp, etc. Like this is freaking loads of money being thrown around, guys' lives at stake. Like that's all it is. And if you're a young kid wanting to be a racer, this is where you want to race. Like it's the best, the most elite. Like it's the fastest. It's unbelievable.
So back to the Premier Golf League.
Hey, so if investors are supporting in Formula One and they're the same, similar investors.
I don't know if they're the same investors, but I think the companies like have not a relationship, but they're basing this Premier Golf League model off of Formula One.
Yeah.
I mean, if that makes sense.
It's going to be sweet, but it's going to compete. So we'll see, but let's talk about
it. So, yeah, I mean, there have also been, so the team element's kind of cool, like kind of. I don't know. I don't like golf as a team sport. They said that they are not going to go. There will not be events that go up against the majors. They want to incorporate the majors into their. So they'll have like 18 of their own events, and then they want to incorporate the majors into their schedule as well. So like add on to that, and they won't compete again. They won't do any type of team competition that would go up against the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup either. So they want to keep those in place. My issue.
What do you mean with the only the top 48 players?
Exactly.
Like, so say Dustin Johnson's like, I'm out, I'm not playing. Do they do the next man up or do they play with 47 players?
No. Right. So they would try. Basically what's happening right now is there's like a lot of bets. So Rory, who is a top 10 player in the world, maybe even top five player still, is not invited to compete in this because he is heavily spoken out against it. Bryson might not be invited to play in it because he's heavily spoken out against it. Like there are, and DJ has heavily spoken out against it too. The only guy who has not heavily spoken out against it is Lee Westwood. He was like, yeah, if they pay me $50 million, I'm joining the league.
Other guys did too.
Yeah.
Adam
Lee
Scott,
Westwood. Like, yeah. Lee Westwood is like the first like vocal person who's like, if they do this, I'm going to join. And they asked me to join, I'm joining.
Dude, and you said Phil Mickelson also hasn't like come out and say
he hasn't bet against it. No, but there are. So PGA Tour has basically and the European Tour has basically said if you join the Premier Golf League, you're banned for life. Like that's their stance right now. With that,
I don't love that stance.
I mean, they're looking out for their own asses, and the PGA Tour and the European Tour now are strategically like they have a strategic alignment, so they're not like owned by the same company, but they're basically like we're working together on stuff from now on, basically because of the threat coming down the road.
I shouldn't have said that. I don't like it, but Formula One suite.
They said that they want to do women's tournaments and junior tournaments as well. The junior tournaments, it gets a little fishy because that's, you know, amateur status. Like that's going to be a little tough. Women's tournaments would be great and it'd probably be even better. But the thing that I do not like is that it is going to be closed and it's only going to be 48 players that are invited to join the league.
Yeah, that's brutal.
So, for example, we can talk about a guy this year, like Jason Kokrak probably would not be invited to join the Premier Golf League. And he's won two events this year and he's in the top 20 in the FedEx Cup. Like there's guys like that. You know, Sam Burns was on the Korn Ferry Tour last year. And now this year he's having a career year. He's eighth in the FedEx Cup. He's won an event. He's finished in the top five. How many times? Three or four this year. He withdrew from the PGA Championship and made Mike all mad. But you know, there are guys like that, like you're gonna lose that part of it. And also, like, how do guys get like relegated out of it and they're like, oh, now you have to go back to the PGA Tour, like, you know what I mean?
Right?
Like, how is that gonna work?
Exactly.
Like, I just don't think I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
No, me neither.
The things that I like about it are that it's more there's more cash to it. Things that I don't like, 3-day tournaments, shotgun starts.
I hate all of it. Yeah, I don't like all of it.
Yeah, so they want to do shotgun starts so they can put everything. So like, how do you not finish on a third day on the 18th? Like that's the thing too, because they want to make it the most enjoyable experience, I guess. I'm just not a fan right now.
Like just trying to speed up golf, kind of thing.
Yeah, or... yeah. They're trying to speed it up, which is fine. Like I get it. Like I like fast golf too. Like I like playing in 3 hours, but you know sometimes it doesn't happen.
It kind of seems like it's going to be the XFL. Like it's going to be a lot of,
but there's so much more money behind this. There's so much money behind this already.
I know. And for someone like Westwood, who's on the back nine of his career, you know, pun intended,
$50 million in 1 year, he would make 50 million. Like they would pay him money to join the league. Like that's the thing too.
In those top 48 though, right?
No, they get to decide who gets to join the league.
Like, oh, that's the thing too. You're
a top 48 player. You get to join. Well, meanwhile, a guy like, I mean, I'm not going to say like Victor Hovland or someone like that, but there could be guys out there who are playing unbelievable who miss out because like, they're just not a big, like Patrick Cantlay would be a name right there who's playing really well this year. Number one overall in the FedEx Cup right now. Like, but he doesn't, you know, he's a big name. I think he's a bigger name in golf, but like he doesn't have an outside appeal to him. So why would they invite him over, you know, not John Rahm? I mean, John Rahm would be invited anyways, but like,
I see
why would they invite him over Ricky?
Like it's a, he's not a needle wiggler, you know, I get what you're saying.
Yeah. He doesn't move the needle.
I don't think there's no situation where maybe there is where like money trumps majors, you know, like I just think the US or not the US, I'm sorry, the PGA and well, Brenda, what like if you play in this, you can't play in any majors as of right now. Right.
Yeah. But I mean, like, that's probably not going to happen. I don't know if that would happen or not. Because like the majors are not controlled by the PGA Tour or the European Tour. They're controlled
by who? By the
So the US Open is controlled by the USGA. The Open is controlled by the RNA. The PGA is controlled by the PGA of America, not the PGA Tour. And the Masters is controlled by Augusta National. Like they don't there's no strings.
Shoot. So they can be bought out.
I don't think Augusta can be bought out, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, Augusta might be the only one. No, I don't know. Hopefully there comes a world where it all works out. But
and I mean,
again, majors should not be getting thrown around and stripped. And
yeah.
We should be, I don't know, we can't have a major come out of this PGL and have it be the fifth major for the men, like, unless it. I don't know.
No, the players already tried that and it's not working. It's not working, guys.
I don't like worrying about unknowns. It just stresses me out and I can't control the future, so it's really not even worth. You know, it's more golf, it's more money in golf. I'm going to go out and practice after this, you know. There's more money in golf. Maybe there's a shot, you know.
Try and get in the PGL. Try and get in the Premier Golf League.
Maybe less people playing the Champions Tour by the time I'm 50, and I'll have more of a shot to play in that because they'll all be playing in the PGL. You know, you just never know.
That'd be kind of funny. Oh, man. All right. Well, gents, it's come to that time. Our last segment of the day. My favorite segment, even though you can't see me as well right now because I don't got my ring light on, but that's okay.
Your teeth are wicked white right now.
Good. I'm a ghost. The golfer poll from our friend, Timmy O'Reilly. Timmy, what do you got for us this week?
I got a TikTok taken down for me this week.
What?
I know. It went against community guidelines.
Were you shirtless or was it?
No. It was a picture of John Daly after he won a tournament. He's kissing his girlfriend. And some streaker ran across the green behind him.
That one was amazing.
With the 19th hole and pointing to his butt. So I even tried covering up with a peach, but they still took it down. Anyway, I'll try it again later.
Boo!
But anyway. So, boys, just a quickie. I really would like to hear why you guys choose this. So, would you rather be a PGA professional, only have 1 year on the tour with one victory, or would you rather be a caddy for someone who is very good and follow them throughout their career?
That's very good. What level are we talking? Very good.
We're talking 10 wins, 2 majors.
I'm being the caddy.
I'm also being the caddy.
And why?
It's close.
Caddy, that's a 10, you know, that's a 20-year career. And like, let's think about it too. You're not just making, so you're making 10%, right? So
yep,
if he
10%.
Has 10, so if he has 10, so we're basing that 10%, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
I didn't even think of the money.
So if he has 10 wins, just 10 wins, that's $1 million right there.
Right.
Two majors, add another $1 million to each of those. So that's, you know, so that's, well, that's, you know, so he would have made $12 million and then you would have made 1.2.
Mm-hmm.
That right there That's great. Just off the top. If he's a good player, he's more than likely making the cut every week. He's more than likely having good sponsorship deals, which means the caddy gets good sponsorship deals, which means they don't have to pay for their travel, which then means you get to pocket all of your money.
Okay.
Thinking about the coin.
Huh?
Two majors, dude. That's the answer. That's why I would. It was close. You threw in two majors. I mean, you get to experience that shit. I mean, that is, and you have to, you played a role. Like, that's like winning the NBA title. Like, that's what majors. I mean, now I'm so intrigued. What majors?
two players championships. No,
that's not, wow. You give me two PGAs. That'd be the worst.
It would.
Give me a British or give me the Open or give me a US. I don't even need a Masters.
But. Nah, you don't need. You'll be there, but you don't need it.
No, that's the thing too. It's like I love playing golf. Like I really enjoy caddying and. There, I kid you not, I was a teacher's assistant at Canton High School, and there were days during free period I would look up on Google how to become a caddy. What should I be doing? Caddying excites the hell out of me, but like playing for a year, like you don't get to play as a caddy. Like you really don't. You might like every so often. Hopefully, you have a really good pro who lets you take some time off. Like, but you're not playing. You're just grinding, walking with the bag. Like cleaning clubs, it's probably hella fun and a great time, but I love playing, so that's what made it tough. But majors, man, majors, two of them. What hardware do I have sitting on my mantelpiece? You know, I mean, that's stuff you just
tweak the flag too.
Dream about it. I guess maybe
I also think where those majors were won is a factor.
Also, if you win on the PGA Tour, you get a 2-year exemption. You get a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour, so therefore you can't only ever play.
Shoot, Tim.
Yeah, so that goes against your logic right there.
No, let's say you broke your leg or something terrible.
Freak injury.
You can't change the question. That was a good question.
No, but I'm sticking with my answer. I'd rather be a caddy, be out there for, you know, 10, 20 years, make some good coin, have some great experiences. You know, get a good farmer's tan.
Hell yeah. Don't get me wrong, too. I'm pumped about that money, Brendan. You breaking that down? That was exciting. That was exciting.
I know what I'm talking. And honestly, it's more of like if you have a good golfer, you're not paying for your own expenses, too. Because like they're either the sponsor is paying for it or like the guy is.
That's not true. Their caddies pay their own way.
But you, if your guy has a good sponsor who also then you get sponsored, because caddies have sponsorships. You guys know that, right?
Some caddies, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so like you see how they wear like that false, like.
Yeah. I guess you're set.
Gold payment caddy.
You get paid. Caddy. They pay you to wear that shit.
True. Good point.
But
so Joel, like.
I'll say it again. Joel Damon's caddy doesn't get his rooms paid for. So he's pretty freaking good. And I mean, he hasn't won two majors, not even close, but you have to be.
Yeah. I mean, like we're talking like Joel Damon, like level is good, but like, you know, Timmy's talking John Rahm level, basically not even John Rahm level, like freaking Jordan Spieth level.
Right. Two majors.
Jordan has three, but yeah.
But yeah, and yeah, that's true. I want Michael Grella probably doesn't pay for it. So,
I don't know. And you're a known name. Like there are guys out there who like Stevie Williams, like everyone knows who Steve Williams is. Cause of Tiger. And because then he got on on Adam Scott's bag.
The nemesis. The dark side.
Like everyone know, like you that's know me. Who yeah, you know who Ricky Elliott is.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Bones McKay is. Well, now it's Tim Mickelson. Now Tim is on his brother's back. But like, you know, Tim Mickelson's name now because he's Phil's caddy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you get to that level.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Like, we don't know Shane Lowry's caddy's name. We just know that that's what Shane Lowry is going to look like in 30 years. And yeah, it's hilarious, you know? Rory's caddy. Shoot, I forget Rory's caddy's name, too.
A friend, right? It's just a friend who's criticized for not doing his job well.
Right.
At least lately.
I know it's like, I honestly hate this question.
Timmy, I was going to say, what's your answer?
I honestly hate it because I don't like having to choose either one because I want to play golf. I want to, I know I'll never accomplish anything great in golf, but there's something fire in me that like wants me to go down to the range and hit like a million balls, you know, that there's always like, obviously it's like us wanting to be a professional baseball player. We know it's never going to happen. But I like to think there's something there just because, call it a fantasy, call it a kid thing. But so I'm going to go, I want to be a professional golfer. And I want to win one tournament with the hopes that maybe one day I could become a caddy, you know? And the reason why I thought of this question is because I went to my old course today. I snuck on to a course near my old house, my parents' house. And that's where I used to caddy. And I was really thinking about that. And I do miss caddying. And all right. So, at what age is it become not appropriate to caddy, you know, at like your local country club?
You can, as old as dirt.
You know what I mean? Like I was caddying when I was 10. Like, is that.
I'm thinking about caddying at the place I just joined.
That'd be a little weird.
Get my cart fees taken care of. You know?
True.
No, I don't think. I mean, yeah, you're going to have those younger kids like looking at you as a friggin' 29-year-old dude. Like, why are you?
Yeah.
Or even worse, like a 48-year-old dude, like, or some old guy, you know. But there's caddying. There's no age limit to caddying. So
no.
I'm hard stance on that. If you want to caddy and you do two loops a day, double bagging, you're making $500. I mean, if you're at a nice place, but sure. There's some money to be made and it's a good workout and it's personable. It's golf.
Maybe we could all make it as professional caddies. We start
I got the calves for it already. So that's all that matters.
That's right.
I mean, yeah. Well, the answer is once you can't carry the bag in it, once you're holding the guy up, once you're like, come on, dude, you're supposed to be. For me, like I shouldn't be the one carrying the bag.
I don't know, man. Fluff is still caddy. Fluff is still Jim Furyk's caddy.
Yeah, Jim Furyk's caddy. Yeah,
he is as old as dirt.
He's a relic. Yep,
he's on his game though, and
he is.
If Jim Furyk can swing a golf club like he does, that guy can carry a golf bag
forever.
Furyk Ryan makes that thing so light for him too. He's Furyk's probably the easiest guy to caddy for.
Oh, for sure.
What a combo. What a combo they are. Perfect.
Oh, man.
How long have they been together?
Since 2001, I believe.
20 years. That's got to be his best friend.
Because Fluff was Tiger Woods' caddy before. Before Stevie Williams.
Huh. I did not know that.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah, so he was Tiger Woods' caddy from 1996 to 99, and then he took Jim Furyk, and he did Jim Furyk from 1999 to present.
Yeah, that's the first image that comes up on Google. Dude, I was going to say that stash on Fluff is just electric, man.
Well, Fluff's a monster, dude.
That stash.
My God, can we get Fluff on this podcast?
I don't think he knows what a podcast is.
wouldn't that be a guest?
He's 73 years old. Let him be.
That would be a guest.
Yeah.
God, no one's ever thought of having Fluff. We just thought, oh, Brendan, we got to get him. We got to get him. Somebody get his telegraph machine's number. His carrier pigeon.
It's his home address.
Yeah, let's send them some snail mail.
Just pepper them with mail weekly.
Oh, my
God. Oh, man. All right, lads. Well, yeah,
this has been real.
Oh, my one. Just one thing before we end it. Fluff is an avowed Deadhead, so he's a huge Grateful Dead fan. You Hell can't make yeah. this up. You can't Dude. Make that up.
Oh my!
I love the Dead.
Oh my God, Fluff being a Deadhead is just the most picture perfect thing I could think of.
Search Fluff on Wikipedia. Put it up. Click the hyperlink, and then Mike Cowan. Go down to his picture with him on the putting green watching Jim Furyk. Just
stash.
Look at his shoes. Look at his shoes.
Oh.
Oh my God. Just his stance and everything. Oh, it's glorious.
Old school Adidas is fantastic. All right, boys. Well, this was quite amazing.
What an amazing pod. Always good with you chooches. No bogeys for the boys and girls today. There have been plenty. Brendan, you swing it?
Oh, I swung this weekend.
Thanks for the invite.
I didn't play. I just went to the range.
Thanks for the invite.
Okay. I'll invite. I'm back in Attleboro, so I'll invite you if you want to go. Anyways, you need to invite me. You play for free. I mean, not for
here
free,
we go,
but you,
here we go.
Yeah. I want to come to your place.
Spinning it. Yeah, no, that'd be sweet. Tim, you too. We should go out, man. Let's do it.
Absolutely. All right, boys. Well, yeah. As always, this was great.
Meatballs are calling my name.
Mm-hmm. Let's go out there and let it fly, boys.
Hole everything, fellas.
Let's play better with Fluff. We got to get him on.